Plan tonight is always the plan, which is to really spend a lot of time in discussion. I've never quite achieved it, and I'm quite, hopeful tonight that I will be able to. So immediately, I want you to just turn to the person next to you and ask them the question and get an answer from them. What is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? 2 minutes. Okay, most of you got something? Anyone want to suggest what is the mission of the church? Sorry? Make disciples. In one. Anyone want to add anything else? Preach the good news, yeah. Sorry? Yeah, that's certainly part of what we... Glorify God. Glorify God, I think that as well, yeah, thank you. All of those things, lots of those things aren't there in terms of what we are called to do, but in terms of the mission, what we're sent out to do, it seems to be this idea of making disciples. And of course, as we do that, we glorify God, and as we do that, we will seek to care for the widows and the orphans, and we'll proclaim the gospel. But it seems that the mission of the church from the New Testament is that of making disciples. And by that, we're talking of both elements of maturing those who believe and making, as in converting and seeing people won for the Lord. And tonight, we're really focusing on the whole issue of converting rather than just kind of the maturing of those who are converted and how you bring them on and disciple them. Tonight, we're looking really much more at this whole issue of the making, as in converts. And as elders, we have been talking about this, and we have come up with a number of values that kind of underpin what we think are the key things in this mission of making disciples. And what I'm going to do is spend some time just going through these four key values, and then we're going to get you back into groups, and we're going to discuss about it, and then feedback, and then we're going to think a little bit more about the issue. So the first value that we came up with as elders is this, that there is an urgent need for people to hear the good news about Jesus Christ because all men are lost without him. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So as we think about making disciples, a driving value is that there is an urgent need for people to hear the good news. And into that, therefore, our second value is that we are called by Christ to go into the world, making disciples and teaching them to obey. Matthew 28:18-19. And that this is the mission of the church and the way we bring glory to God. And all disciples are called to engage and contribute in some way to making disciples, Luke 5:10. In other words, we all have a role to play in fully using the gifts and opportunities God gives us. And here are a few ways that might happen, the different roles. So in gospel proclamation, is that big enough? Gospel proclamation in preaching and evangelistic events. Ephesians 4:11-12, 2 Timothy 4:2-5. And in some ways, all of us are involved in that. It's not that we all will preach, but all of us can be those who bring others to hear gospel proclamation and preaching and evangelistic events. Some have particular gifts, and some may be called to a more focused role as an evangelist, Ephesians 4:11. So some of us will be that, but all of us will be involved in personal testimony and response to questions provoked by changed lives. That is, people should see something different about us and ask us questions, and we should be able to respond. 1 Peter 2:12, 1 Peter 3:15. All of us are involved in that. All of us are involved in relationships where the love of Christ can be demonstrated and discussed, being a powerful apologetic advert and authentication or an authentication of the gospel. John 17, 20, 23, Colossians 4, 2 to 6. And all of us can be involved in prayer and financial support when it comes to making disciples. Again, Colossians 4 and Philippians 4. So our second value is that we are all called by Christ to go into the world, making disciples and teaching them to obey, and that this is the mission of the church. And all disciples, all those who believe and profess in Jesus, are called to engage and contribute in some way. And one of those may be the ways in which we can all contribute. Value three, that we recognize the sovereignty of God as we make disciples, that he calls and gives new life, Acts 13, 48, Ephesians 1, 4, John 3, 7 to 8. But we also recognize our responsibility to be faithful gospel tellers and to expect fruit. So Romans 10, 13 to 15, and Colossians 1, 28 to 29. So we recognize the sovereignty of God, but that also we have a responsibility to be faithful gospel tellers. And as we do that, that we should expect fruit. That is, we should expect to see people converted. And then value four, that mission is both local and global. That is, from our neighbours to the nations, neither should be neglected. So Colossians 1, 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, 8. And that we should then prayerfully, flowing from that, desire and expect the Holy Spirit to call individuals from the church to mission in other places, locally, nationally, internationally, or to other churches. By that we're thinking, it may well be that we see people called to go and serve churches in Brighton or somewhere else in the area for the sake of making disciples in our nation. So that's pretty much the key values. These are what I call our driving values. We also have some supporting values that kind of support all those kind of things of making disciples. So I'll run through these just quickly. While Sunday gatherings are primarily for believers, we should desire and expect unbelievers to be present and to be called to faith in Christ through the proclamation of the gospel. We want to make sure that we follow the New Testament call to removing cultural obstacles and seeking to communicate clearly the gospel. In other words, contextualization. And we want to be committed in leading the church in fervent prayer to help foster conviction of truth, relevance, and urgency of the gospel in love for Christ and for the lost, and a commitment every day to be on mission in our own lives and as part of the church family. They're kind of our supporting values to the big drivers of making disciples. Now, what would be good is to turn into your groups now. I've got some handouts with those on. The supporting values, sorry, are on the next feed, on the next handout, but you'll get those in a bit. But I'll leave the supporting ones up so you can see them. All the other values on here. What would be good is in your groups to begin to discuss these, to begin to think about them. Read the Bible verses that are attached. Do these values reflect them? Can you think of other verses which support these values? Do you agree with them? Why not? Is there something missing? If so, what? It's a really difficult one, isn't it, to get right in the sense of holding the tensions between kind of beating ourselves up that we're not, you know, seeing thousands of people come to faith every time we ever proclaim the gospel, but at the same time holding that tension that says we're not kind of satisfied with kind of not seeing any fruit, or kind of just allowing ourselves kind of just to be faithful. We are called to be faithful, but to kind of have that urgency, that expectation, that sense of actually, no, we want to see fruit, not just corporately, but individually as well, and to kind of have that expectation and praying for that expectation. And so trying to hold those tensions of not, this isn't about trying to beat us up or being guilty, it's about trying to think about how and our expectations and urgency on the issue. And I think if we agree with the mission, and I think this is partly where we're going to move on now to this, the next area really, because if we're thinking about And we agree that the mission is to make disciples. And we agree with the values. I think we've got to look at what's happened in the church over the last 3 or 4 years and say, hold on a second, we're not seeing lots of people converted and made disciples. And I think you then have to ask the question, what has gone wrong, if anything? Helped me to think of this in terms of a model. But if you imagine that this is a shoe manufacturing plant, and this is the resources, you then have man hours, you then have a structure, and all of those things are right. The resources are right, the man hours are right, the structure is right. But the shoe factory doesn't produce any shoes. What would you ask? What would the president of the shoe manufacturing plant come and ask the production manager? He'd ask, what's going on? Because what's a shoe manufacturing plant supposed to do? It's supposed to make shoes. And so if it's not making shoes, and it's making no shoes, you've got to ask the questions, what has gone wrong? Is that right? Huh? What are the blockages? What are the reasons? What must we change? What must we eliminate to make the shoes?
What are the issues?
What are the issues? I wish I'd have thought of that, eh? Blinder. See, now everyone's thinking of other shoe-related gags to make. Everyone's going, what else can I think? What are the blocks? Well, the shoes. Is there something with flip-flops? No. So we're going to ask, what's gone wrong? Now, if you apply that to a shoe manufacturing plant, you've got to apply it when you think of the church. Okay, so if you have the resources, and let's take Christchurch. We are a well-resourced church. We're well-resourced in terms of people. We're well-resourced financially, in spite of the financial difficulties of this last year, we are financially well-resourced. We have a great building, which is purpose-built and is accessible and used for what we want to do. So in terms of resources, we seem to be pretty well-equipped. In terms of man-hours, if you average out, we have, say, 117 members, give or take. Say they have 3 hours a week, on average, to give to the church, to serving. That means we'd have 18,252 man hours to invest in making disciples or in serving in some way. That's a lot of man hours. That's a lot of resource. Then you add structures to that, and you say, okay, our structure is as good as any. Okay, so Sunday services seem to work well. The morning seems to have a fringe. It seems to attract others. The Sunday evening is well attended. The Sunday services seem to be doing what they wanted. Our programs through the week are good. We have programs from the young to the old, for men, for women. We have outreach programs. We have a lot of good programs that seem to be doing a good job. We have a play group that is seeking to reach out to the community for the little families and the families around. We have a cafe that is engaged in the community. We have community groups, and they are designed to mature disciples inwardly, but also to be outward in terms of their look. And they may not work perfectly, or they're in a process, but they are as good as any, a structure of reaching out people to people. And in fact, community groups are a great way of reaching what we'd call low-hanging fruit. That is, those who have some spiritual hunger, but are not quite Christians, and drawing them in. So Christianity Explored was a great example of that, of what we'd call low-hanging fruit. Those who have been attached loosely to us, have some spiritual hunger, and we can draw them in. So you look at it and you say, we have a good structure, or as good as any structure for what we want to do and make disciples. And if they are the kind of inputs, and the output is such that we've seen none or limited disciples, I think you've got to ask, what has gone wrong, if anything? What are the blockages? What are the reasons? What must we change? What must we eliminate to make disciples? And I want to suggest just a few possible blockages, okay? So firstly, it's an issue of conviction. So that is, we know in our heads and believe in our heads that we are called to make disciples. We know that. We affirm that this evening. But are we convicted in our hearts that is what we're called to do, such that we're prepared to change and do whatever is necessary to go and see people won for Jesus? Or have we just gone into a comfort mode? The guys who think about how organisations work say that every organisation, every culture, will always go into protection mode. It's the first thing you kind of do. You seek to protect your culture and your organisation. And have we lost that conviction such that we've gone into comfort, that we kind of enjoy what we do, and God has been pleased to bless, and we've seen some others come and join us, but we just kind of got comfortable. We've lacked the conviction to go and make disciples, to see people won. We've kind of become too inward rather than outward. So is it a conviction issue? Is it a competency issue? That is, we feel incompetent because we don't have enough training, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to engage in conversations, we don't quite know how to reach out. Is that the issue? Is it a competency issue? I don't want to suggest that for some that may be true, but for the majority of us, I'm not sure that is the case necessarily. And Graham was saying this morning about how we can all relate to trials and tribulations and speak of God's comfort in those situations and speak of how God has been at work in our lives. So is it a competency issue? Maybe it's a competency issue with the structure, the way it is. Maybe it's a competency issue with how we're using our resources, our man hours. Maybe we have this great resource of man hours, but actually we're not quite using them in the right way, and we need to rethink how that is happening. Maybe we're being, sounds harsh, in terms of incompetent in prayer or incompetent in hanging out with friends who are non-Christians. You know, how are we using our time? How are we making relationships? Maybe it's a competency issue in that sense. Maybe it's something else. Maybe we're doing all that we can, but something else is happening. So maybe it's just a culture shift such that people's hearts are harder than they've ever been. Possible. But human nature doesn't change that much. There might be a sense that there's a judgment of God on our nation such that people are therefore not coming to faith. That's possible. And we need to weigh that. But is it so such that we should expect to see nothing? Maybe it's a mixture of all of those factors. It's not as neat as we'd like it. Maybe there's lots of little things. But I think it's worth asking the question, what has gone wrong, if anything? It might not be. It may be that we're all kind of engaged as we should be, but I think we probably all know that's not quite true. So there must be something. Now, of course, it's not purely just the inputs that we do. As we say, God is sovereign. But I think it's worth asking the question, what has gone wrong, if anything? What are the blockages? And so I'd like you to spend the next 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, talking about that. What do you see as the possible blockages, issues? What can we eliminate, change, or do? What will it look like for us to make disciples? What will this involve? And I've got those handouts so that you can see what I've said and discuss. That's a good point to finish on, because I think what we can do now would be good just to take, because I don't know if you're anything like me, you hear this, you feel the challenge, you know you've got to do something, but the danger is that within an hour of getting home or so, life's kicked back in and it's slightly beginning to drift away. And it'd be good to take 30 seconds, a minute now, just personally thinking about, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is it you're saying to me from this evening that I've got to go and convicted of that I need to change, that I need to do differently? What is it maybe corporately we need to do? We've heard some good suggestions, particularly around the area of praying. We need to think about those things, about our corporate prayer life and how we respond to those. But what about personally? So take a minute. And then in your groups where you are, spend 2 or 3 minutes just praying about this issue, about making disciples about us as a church.